尊敬的奥巴马总统
，Honorable President Obama, distinguished guests, dear friends from the press, good morning. First of all, I wish to once again warmly welcome President Obama to China for this state visit. Over the past 2 days, I had a constructive and productive discussion with President Obama. We had sincere and in-depth exchange of views and reached broad agreement on China-U.S. relations, major international and regional issues of shared interest, as well as on global issues. We reaffirmed the agreement that we reached at the Annenberg Estate on developing the bilateral relations. We agreed to continue to advance the development of a new model of major country relations between China and the United States. We had in-depth discussions on the priority areas for advancing such relationship. We agreed to accelerate the negotiations of the BIT and will make efforts to reach agreement on the core issues and major articles of the treaty text and to initiate the negative list negotiations in 2015. We have reached agreement on the ITA expansion negotiations, and we are ready to work together for the early conclusion of relevant plurilateral talks. We fully recognize the document signed between the two departments of defense on building two major confidence-building measures and agreed to continue to deepen military exchanges, mutual trust, and cooperation on that basis and develop a new type of military-to-military relations between the two countries. We issued a joint statement on climate change and jointly announced our respective post-2020 targets. We agreed to make sure that international climate change negotiations will reach an agreement as scheduled at the Paris conference in 2015, and we agreed to deepen practical cooperation on clean energy, environmental protection, and other areas. We reaffirmed our firm opposition to terrorism of all forms and agreed to strengthen counterterrorism cooperation on intelligence sharing, terrorist financing, and cyberterrorism. And we will work together to remove the threats of various terrorists and extremist forces. We agreed to make use of such channels as the meeting between the Chinese Ministry of Public Security and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to have further discussions on law enforcement cooperation, which includes cracking down on transnational crimes, fugitives hunting, and recovery of criminal proceeds. We have reached reciprocal arrangements on the visa for business travelers, tourists, and students. We have agreed to issue 10-year multiple entry visas for respective business travelers and tourists and 5-year multiple entry visas for each other's students. This will greatly promote people exchanges between our two countries and will help to promote our exchange and cooperation in the various fields and promote the long-term development of bilateral relations. We agreed to follow such principles as mutual respect, seeking common ground while sharing differences, exchanges and mutual learning, and manage our differences and sensitive issues in a constructive way so as to ensure the healthy and steady growth of the bilateral ties. I told President Obama that China has proposed the Asian security concept at the SICA summit in May in order to encourage Asian countries to build common security in an inclusive and cooperative spirit. At the same time, I also said that the Pacific Ocean is broad enough to accommodate the development of both China and the United States, and our two countries should work together to contribute to security in Asia. These are mutually complementary efforts instead of mutually exclusive ones. China and the U.S. should continue to enhance dialogue and coordination on Asia-Pacific affairs and respect and accommodate each other's interests and concerns in this region and develop inclusive coordination. I also introduced to President Obama China's initiatives of establishing the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank and Silk Road Fund. Underdeveloped infrastructure is the main bottleneck obstructing the economic development in Asia. China has initiated the AIIB in order to offer support and facilitate regional infrastructure development. These proposals and initiatives are open and inclusive in nature. They are not exclusive. We welcome the active participation of the United States and other relevant countries so that together we can promote and share prosperity and peace in Asia Pacific. We recognize the positive actions both have taken in helping African countries affected by the Ebola virus to fight against the disease. We indicated that based on the actual needs of African countries, we will leverage our respective strengths and work with the rest of the international community to help affected countries to strengthen capacity building on health and epidemic prevention so as to place the epidemic under control as soon as possible. I thank President Obama and the U.S. team for their support to China's hosting of the APEC Economic Leaders Meeting. Both are willing to strengthen coordination and cooperation on multilateral forum, including APEC and G20, and play a positive role in promoting global economic recovery and development. China and the United States have worked closely on the negotiations of the Iranian nuclear issue. We hope that relevant parties would persist in consensus, address differences, and make political decisions so as to promote the early conclusion of a win-win and comprehensive agreement. China is firmly committed to achieving the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and to peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula. We maintain that we should address the Korean Peninsula issue through dialogue and negotiations. Relevant parties should have active contacts and dialogue so as to create conditions for the early launch, for the long relaunch of the six-party talks. The two sides also agreed to continue their exchange and cooperation on the Afghan issue. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, China is ready to work with the United States to make efforts in a number of priority areas and put into effect such principles as non-confrontation, non-conflict, mutual respect, and win-win cooperation. And with unwavering spirit and unremitting efforts, we will promote new progress in building a new type model of major country relations between the two countries so as to bring greater benefits to our two peoples and two countries. Thank you. Thank you, President Xi. I now give the floor to President Obama.
Well, thank you, President Xi, for welcoming me and my delegation to Beijing and for the extraordinary hospitality that you and the Chinese people have shown to me on this state visit. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the people of China for the warmth and kindness they showed my wife, Michelle, and our daughters, as well as my mother-in-law, when they came to visit China earlier this year. Another sign of the enduring friendship between our peoples. This year marks the 35th anniversary of diplomatic relations between our said that we must seek truth from facts. On this anniversary, it is a fact that the past 3.5 decades have seen an extraordinary growth in the ties between our two countries. More trade, more collaborations between our businesses and scientists and researchers, more connections between the Chinese and the American people, from tourists to our students. And it is a fact that when we work together, it's good for the United States, it's good for China, and it is good for the world. As I've said many times, the United States welcomes the continuing rise of a China that is peaceful, prosperous, and stable, and it plays a responsible role in the world. And we don't just welcome it, we support it. For decades, America's engagement in the Asia-Pacific, including our alliances and our stabilizing presence, have been a foundation for the region's progress, including contributing to China's remarkable economic growth. The United States has worked to expand trade and investment with China and to help integrate China into the global economy. And we want that progress to continue because, as I said before, it benefits all of us. I believe that President Xi and I have a common understanding about how the relationship between our nations can move forward. We agree that we can expand our cooperation where our interests overlap or align. When we have disagreements, we will be candid and clear about our intentions, and we will work to narrow those differences where possible. Even as we compete and disagree in some areas, I believe we can continue to advance the security and prosperity of our people and people around the world. That's my vision for how we can develop the relationship between our countries. That's the vision that we've advanced during this visit, which has taken our bilateral, regional, and global cooperation to a new level. And I want to thank President Xi for his leadership in fostering that kind of atmosphere of cooperation. First, President Xi and I agreed on the importance of continuing to exercise to increase the trade that helps grow our economies and creates jobs. More U.S. exports to a growing China means more opportunities for American businesses, workers, and farmers. We agreed to work actively on a comprehensive bilateral investment treaty with high standards, and that provides the opportunity for Chinese businesses to invest in the United States, as well as opening up the opportunity for more U.S. businesses to invest here in China, creating jobs for both our countries. We reached an understanding that will allow us to work with other nations to conclude the Information Technology Agreement, which will help us boost trade in the computer and IT products that power the 21st century economy. We agreed to work together to promote innovation in agricultural and food security to help feed a growing planet. And our agreement to extend visas for business people, tourists, and students will help fuel growth and create jobs for Americans and Chinese. I told President Xi that we welcome reforms being discussed here that would give the market a defining role in the Chinese economy. At the same time, I did emphasize the need for a level playing field so foreign companies can compete fairly, including against Chinese state-owned enterprises. I stressed the importance of protecting intellectual property as well as trade secrets, especially against cyber threats. And we welcome continued progress towards a market-driven exchange rate. Second, as the world's two largest economies, energy consumers, and emitters of greenhouse gases, we have a special responsibility to lead the global effort against climate change. That's why today I am proud that we can announce a historic agreement. I commend President Xi, his team, and the Chinese government for the commitment they are making to slow, peak, and then reverse the course of China's carbon emissions. Today, I can also announce that the United States has set a new goal of reducing our net greenhouse gas emissions by 26 to 28% below 2005 levels by the year 2025. This is an ambitious goal, but it is an achievable goal. It will double the pace at which we're reducing carbon pollution in the United States. It puts us on a path to achieving the deep emissions reductions by advanced economies that the scientific community says is necessary to prevent the most catastrophic effects of climate change. It will help improve public health. It will grow our economy. It will create jobs. It will strengthen our energy security. And it will put both of our nations on the path to a low-carbon economy. This is a major milestone in the U.S.-China relationship, and it shows what's possible when we work together on an urgent global challenge. In addition, by making this announcement today together, we hope to encourage all major economies to be ambitious, all countries, developing and developed, to work across some of the old divides so we can conclude a strong global climate agreement next year. Third, with respect to regional security, we agreed to a number of new measures to improve communications between our militaries in order to reduce the risk of accidents or miscalculations on the seas and in the air. President Xi and I reaffirmed our commitment to the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, and we agree that North Korea will not succeed in pursuing nuclear weapons and economic development. It can have both. While the United States does not take a position on competing claims in the East and South China Seas, I made it clear that we do have a fundamental interest in freedom of navigation, and that territorial disputes in the region should be resolved peacefully in accordance with international law. And I congratulated President Xi on the initial contacts with Prime Minister Abe of Japan to help lower tensions with respect to that issue. I reaffirmed my strong commitment to our One China policy based on the three joint communiques and the Taiwan Relations Act, and we encourage further progress by both sides of the Taiwan Strait towards building ties, reducing tensions, and promoting stability on the basis of dignity and respect, which is in the interest of both sides, as well as the region and the United States. Fourth, I welcome China's contributions to international security. This includes our mutual support for a stable, unified Afghanistan, our mutual interest in seeing the terrorist group ISIL is destroyed, the potential work we can do together in other counterterrorism activities, including those that were raised by President Xi, our mutual efforts as part of the P5+1 to reach a comprehensive solution that ensures Iran's nuclear program is exclusively peaceful. We agree that Iran should seize this historic opportunity by making the tough choices that are necessary to achieve a lasting diplomatic solution. And in addition, the United States is very appreciative of China's important contributions in West Africa in the fight against Ebola. We agreed to expand our cooperation against infectious diseases more broadly and to promote access to electricity across Africa. More examples of the difference we can make when we work together. And finally, I reiterated to President Xi, as I have before, that America's unwavering support for fundamental human rights of all people will continue to be an important element of our relationship with China, just as it is with all the countries that we interact with around the world. And we had a very healthy exchange around these issues. President Xi gave me his sense of how China's moving forward. I described to him why it is so important for us to speak out for the freedoms that we believe are universal. Rights that we believe are the birthright of all men and women wherever they live, whether it is in New York or Paris or Hong Kong. We think history shows that nations that uphold these rights, including for ethnic and religious minorities, are ultimately more prosperous, more successful, and more able to achieve the dreams of their people. In that context, I did note that we recognize Tibet as part of the People's Republic of China. We are not in favor of independence, but we did encourage Chinese authorities to take steps to preserve the unique cultural, religious, and linguistic identity of the Tibetan people. In closing, I want to say that I am pleased that we continue to expand the ties between our peoples. The new visa extension that begins today will bring more Chinese tourists to the United States and more American tourists to see the magnificent sights of China. We'll encourage more exchanges among our students. We welcome more Chinese students to the United States than from any other country, and I'm proud that this summer my 100,000-strong program reached our goal of more than 100,000 Americans studying in China in recent years. With these visa extensions, we'll give more students this opportunity, both Chinese and American. So every day, our people are getting to know each other better. Every day, our young people are forging friendships that will serve our countries for many decades to come. Every day, some of the barriers of mistrust are broken down, mutual understanding is promoted, and that lays the seeds for cooperation, not just today, but for future generations. So, President Xi, thank you again for your hospitality, for the candid and very productive conversations, for your hosting of an excellent APEC summit, and for our work together. As Deng Xiaoping said, we must seek truth from facts. The truth is that we have made important progress today for the benefit of both of our nations and for the benefit of the world. The truth is that even more progress is possible as we continue to develop this important relationship. I'm confident that we will be able to do so. So thank you. Xie xie. We've agreed, I believe, to take a question from the press.
谢谢奥巴马总统。
接下来两国元首将各回答一个问题。首先请奥巴马总统回答提问。Thank
you, both presidents. Now, the two presidents have agreed to each take a question from the press.
Now, first, President Obama will take a question from a member of the American press.
The first question will be from Mark Landler of the New York Times.
Where's Mark? There he is.
No, he's about it. Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much, President Xi and President Obama. My first question is to President Obama. You've spoken a lot over the past few days about the potential of China as a partner for the United States and have concluded several agreements this week that attest to that. At the same time, there has been a surge of anti-American rhetoric in China in recent weeks, particularly in the state media. Chinese newspapers have disparaged your leadership style and have fueled speculation that the United States is a black hand behind the protests in Hong Kong. My question is whether you're concerned that this anti-American rhetoric could impede the kind of collaboration that you wish to have with China, and to what do you attribute that? And if I may, because I want to make sure I grab my chance with the President of China, ask a couple of questions of him. Mr. President, President Obama has sketched out a strategic pivot to Asia that includes shoring up alliances with American allies like Japan and South Korea, deploying Marines to Australia, negotiating a regional trade pact that at the moment excludes China, and speaking up, as he did just a moment ago, on territorial disputes between China and its neighbors. Several months ago in Shanghai at a conference, you said it is for the Asians to run the affairs of Asia. I wonder whether you're concerned that this strategic pivot represents an effort to contain China. And then, if I may, lastly, on a parochial issue, several news organizations from the United States have had issues with residency permits in China being denied, including the New York Times. I'm wondering, in the spirit of these reciprocal visa arrangements that you've agreed to this week with business people and students, isn't it time to extend that sort of right to foreign correspondents who seek to cover your country? Thank you both very much.
谢谢，先问奥巴马总统，您提到了这个美中两国关系成为伙伴的这个潜力，这一周也达成了不少协议，展示了这个愿望。但同时，我们注意到最近几周以来，反美的言论是比较多，特别是在国有媒体里头，中国的报纸就是批评了您的领导力。具体来说了，这个香港的这些事件的黑手，美国在背后呢，这些是不是引起您的关切？ 在这个像这个分煤的这些言论，会不会是不利于您所希望的同中国加强合作的这个目标？这个原因何在呢？同时，我想借此机会向习主席提两个问题：第一，奥巴马总统的向亚洲转换的这个战略，也包括增强和本地区的一些盟友，像日本、韩国呢？同时，在地区里头也达成了不少的一些贸易协定，但是当前这个区域协定也把中国排除在外呢？也包括其他的一些这个贸易纠纷的这些问题。还有在上海，您提到的亚洲事务、亚洲馆呢这个事情，您是不是关切美国的战略性的转向，是不是目的在于围堵中国呢？还有第二一个问题就是一些新闻的媒体。 他们在中国的居留证的许可好像是被推迟了，其中包括《纽约时报》在内。但同时，这一次达成了有关签证的一些安排，包括方便了学生和商业人士呢。那您是否认为这个时间已经到了，应该给在中国报道中国事务的记者给予同样的一个接待？谢谢。
I'm trying to remember the question.
我想啊。
I'm teasing. First of all, with respect to press attitudes towards America or me in particular, I am always working on the assumption that the press giving me a hard time is true wherever I go, whether in the United States or China. That's part of being a public official. And you know, I think that it is fair to say that there are differences between the United States and China on a range of issues. On the other hand, I'm a big believer in actions and not words. And this summit, I think, is evidence of the value that China places in the relationship between the United States and China. On a whole host of issues at this summit, we've shown that U.S.-China cooperation can end up not only being good for the two countries, but for the world as a whole.
在一系列问题上，本次峰会已经展示，美中两国合作不仅仅对美中两国有好处，也会对可能对全世界有好处。
And I do think that one of the benefits of a summit like this is the opportunity for one-on-one conversations between the leaders of the two countries to break down some of the misperceptions and mistrust that can build up over time.
而且我认为像这样的峰会给我们带来的一个好的机会之一，就是两国领导人可以进行一对一的会晤，可以这个打破这个随着时间的推移可能会产生的。